Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and we're glad you're with us today for New Life.
Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls.
Hi, guys.
Hey. Hi, guys.
You know, whenever I come back from a New Life weekend, I want to tell the world about it. And it's just, you know, there are so many different stories. One story, a lady came, and she came very early because she was so scared to be there and she wanted to get used to her surroundings, and then very apprehensive when she signed up at registration. And so she's an artist, but she comes to the first session, and at the first session I tell a story about how I would draw, but I didn't want to use circles and ovals and lines, you know, I just wanted to start drawing a bird, eagle, chicken, whatever,
the object itself,
you know. I didn't want to, what is all this oval thing and everything? And then, and so I show them a picture of one of my drawings like that. It's horrible. And then I show them starting out a drawing with ovals and lines and everything, following directions of other people who have gone before me, who knew a little bit more about drawing than I did. And then I show them this eagle that I drew carrying a fish over the water. And it's really a pretty good drawing. But the contrast between it and the other drawing is phenomenal because I follow directions. And the whole point is for people to sit back and trust us with the process because we've done this before. But imagine you're an artist, you're apprehensive, and you come in the first meeting, they're talking about art and drawing, and you've got a connection with the guy up on the stage. And it was just one of those, you know, amazing coincidences. But let me read you what someone said. She said, "I thought my husband was no longer in love with me because we had drifted a little and didn't have the passion we used to, though we love each other very much. When we first arrived here, I was very focused on what I needed from him. When we left, I'm now focused on what I need to change. This weekend was wonderful. We shared our thoughts and feelings and learned a lot about each other and how to go about meeting each other's needs. I leave here with newfound love and passion, ideas of how to keep the romance going and show each other appreciation and making time to share with each other. If you're thinking about it, go for it. We only gained from this experience and felt God in all of our advice and guidance that we received here, including wisdom and love." That was from Gina. Isn't that wonderful that Gina, she said we could use her name. And I think if anybody is struggling and they need an excuse to get better, the New Life Weekend does it. It does stuff that we used to do in our hospitals, you know. It just pulls it together.
And it's such a good example of what you read of thinking that you're going for one reason but leaving with something maybe very different and better.
Okay, so let me follow up. Here's her husband, Mark, says, "My marriage was losing its spontaneity and becoming very routine with kids, work, and dinner. But the weekend's been a learning experience with life lessons for me to use throughout my life. And funny, because Steve's got a great sense of humor, and my group was great. I've got tools to keep my marriage passionate. Let's just say I'm bringing sexy back." Isn't that great? All right. Maybe you need to bring something back into your marriage. We would love for you to come. Some folks need their marriage enhanced, some rescued, some restored.
Well, we are thrilled that we're going to Columbus, Ohio. And of all the things we do, this is the big one. Because here's the thing. If Satan can get you to become an addict or something like that, he's happy. If he can destroy a marriage, which is supposed to be the reflection of the relationship between Christ and the church, well, I mean, he is thrilled to do that. It's a big target. And when we can save a marriage and then create something amazing out of a marriage that was dead. Everybody benefits from that. So that's what we're going to do. It's October the 25th, Columbus, Ohio, Intimacy and Marriage.
We'll be back in a minute, but call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some information.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelly Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realized that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 15th to the 17th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. We're going to talk with Sun from Boston, Massachusetts, W-E-Z-E. Hi there. Welcome to New Life.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Joe and John.
Hey, Sun.
Hey. Hey. I listen to you guys a lot. I've been listening to Jill a lot with her grieving CD.
Oh, good.
Jill has great material.
Yes.
What's going on?
So, I don't really know where to begin. I think the question is, like, when do I stop pursuing a girl when she's not, responding or giving me any green light or anything like that. I don't know.
Has she ever said anything negative to you about your pursuing her?
Well, we're Asian, and so we like to put things under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
We went on a trip recently to New York, and
you went with her? You went with her?
I went with... It was a group thing.
Okay.
And so we went to New York, and before we went to New York, before we went to New York, it was supposed to all be me, her, and her brother's girlfriend. But then she felt uncomfortable or something.
Yeah.
So she asked me to bring more people. So I brought two more people. And on the trip, I don't know if she was, like, trying to tell me to back off or something, but she kept on trying to talk with my friend and try and hang out with him. And
yeah, okay.
Then,
So is the question, what should you do, or...
I've been listening to Jill's CD, and it seems like I'm going through the grieving process or something. But, you know, like, I was mad and I was angry, and now I'm just, like, thinking about her and things I could do with her. Like, I'm thinking of asking her if she wants to be picked up from school tomorrow.
You know what I would do if I were you? I would get the issue right out there on the table. And I think it's time, given all the things you've said, that you say to her, you know, I really like you and care about you, but I'm just wondering if I'm wasting my time.
I thought, you know, from her implicit actions and just the fact that she's not responding.
Okay, so you feel like she's giving you that message, son?
You don't need to ask her, is what you're saying.
Because I hear you going back and forth. You're grieving because you're sad because you feel like it's a no from her and you really like her. So you're kind of trying to deal with the loss, but then you get some hope resurrected and you want to jump in and then do something for her, right?
Yeah.
So, so Steve, I think, is appealing to the fact that you're still uncertain. And if you were to just ask her, that would clear up uncertainty.
Uh-huh.
What? Why wouldn't you ask her?
Because I think I already know the answer.
And it would hurt to hear a negative answer?
I don't know if it would hurt. I just know that I think it's going to be a no. And, I mean, there's no... Why put someone through something when you already know that the answer is a no?
Okay, I'll tell you why. Because, and I'm not saying this is your case, but when people don't have... Like the Bible says, when they don't speak the truth in love to each other, like it says in Ephesians, sometimes things are going on, I don't know why. Like a couple, like maybe she'll say, well, I'm desperately shy. I do care about you, but I'm a very shy person. Or I have feelings for you, but I don't know if you'll like me. So that's why I'm acting strange and talking to other people.
I just wanted to see if you would pursue me.
I want to see if you'll pursue me.
Kind of, I was rejecting.
And so we're not saying you're wrong, son, but there's a lot wrong in going through life and not asking direct questions, because then you're never sure. And then you might be grieving something that you have, you know, like you don't need to grieve. So that's why we believe in clearing the air and asking the question.
And there's, you know, you can kind of throw it out there, son, instead of being maybe super direct. You could say, you know, we've been friends for a while, and I'm wondering how you see our friendship. Do you see us as maybe, you know, going beyond friendship or just remaining as good friends? You know, I mean, that's direct, but it's kind of gives her a way out, and you're saying, you know, either way, it's a win-win.
I like that approach.
How you see us.
I've known too many people that have grieved because they didn't pursue a question.
Yeah.
So I like what Jill says.
And the other side is you don't want to be annoying either. Like you were thinking of asking her if she wanted to ride home from school today. Well, you need to find out if, I think the big issue here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and you mentioned that you're Asian, and a lot of times with Asians, they do hold their feelings in, and then, you know, at the end, you see all of this emotion. So.
Right.
You may not be clear on what she's feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, let me send you, what would be a good boundaries in dating?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll send you boundaries in dating coming your way, and I'll send you regret-free living. Elizabethtown is where Gary listens on WFIA. Gary, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Steve. How are you doing?
Great. What's happening in your life, Gary?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
But me and my wife's been separated about a year now, and we had a marriage of 17 years, and I've done a lot of stupid things. And
why did you separate? What happened?
Well, I really don't know. I mean, honestly, about 7 years ago, I did cheat on my wife, and I thought she forgave me for it. And next thing I know, that she started going through this menopause thing, and next thing I know, she just started getting angry and left.
Okay. And now when you had that affair 7 years ago,
yes.
Did you still struggle a little bit with looking at other women or lust or anything like that that she might have been picking up on over the 7 years?
I really didn't know. I mean, it could have been. I didn't pay attention. I mean, honestly. I mean, besides that, I really, I guess, emotionally abused her because I didn't pay a lot of attention to her because I worked two jobs all the time and didn't spend a lot of time with her.
Sounds like, Gary, you're a kind of guy that works hard, goes through life, and kind of doesn't pick up the clues.
You're right, Clues. You're right.
Okay. So how can we help you?
Well, my question is, you know, I backslid for the last 10 or 12 years, and since it's been going on, I've given my life back to God and trying to do the right things and praying all the time. And I feel like I'm praying, but, you know, God has not answered my question if I should just go ahead and go on with my life. Or, I mean, I'm just sitting here now doing nothing. I've been sitting here for almost 11 months now.
Well, I think when there's separation, there needs to be an agenda. Needs to be a plan. What is she saying to you?
Is she asking for anything?
Money? No, really, she does. I mean, she's
Gary.
She's always,
let me challenge something you're thinking, buddy. You kind of, I feel sort of a little bit protective of God against you.
Okay, come on.
So I got to defend God here. He's not speaking for himself.
Hey, I know. Go ahead.
Hold on, man. So, you know, God's not answering my prayer. He's not telling me what to do, and I'm just sitting here, and time's going by. When's God going to tell me what to do? Gary, he's told us what to do. And if you go to Matthew chapter 5, it says, if your brother is got something against you, go be reconciled to your brother. You and your wife are alienated. She has something against you. Now, God has been very clear that there's a process where you go do reconciliation. So don't blame God that he hadn't answered the question.
No, I'm not blaming God. No, you get me wrong. I'm not blaming God. I just don't know what to do.
Well, we're going to tell you. Now that we've opened that door and God's a good place, we're going to tell you. Steve said you got to have a plan. Right now, you guys are what we would call a timeout. I've got my place, you've got your place, and we're just getting older. That's nothing having to do with reconciliation.
Well, she says she fell out of love with me, and then, like, I talked to her, was about a week ago. She says, I have nothing there for you, and I'm thinking, well, I mean, she still comes over and does my laundry every week. I mean,
Gary, listen to us. Listen to us for a second here, man. We don't care. We don't care whether she says she loves you or not. We have seen dead marriages where people absolutely had no feelings get together if they did the plan that Steve's referring to.
That's right.
So I want you to listen to us here.
I'm listening.
Okay.
Well, and I would imagine that some of what you need to do, Gary, is probably what your wife has been telling you for the last 7 years. Probably after the affair, there were lots of things that she was waiting for you to do. But
You had the affair with the work. I know.
So she's gotten your attention, right? And still you're just sitting.
Right.
I'm going to give you two words. Humble willingness. Humble willingness to go and get involved in a men's group and counseling and have an accountability partner and be able to say to her, I'm finally getting serious about this thing called life and us. And I don't give up on me yet, honey. I am going to work on this.
Honey, I want to go to marital counseling with you. And if we can't afford that, we're going to see a preacher together who's good at counseling. And I'm going to get my own help from a men's group. And I'm going to find out why I had the affair. And I want you to understand that I've learned from it. I'm going to read books. We want you to get on a plan, Gary, instead of being in timeout.
That is just such a different approach than I don't know what to do.
Just been sitting here.
Yeah.
No. I have completely been sitting there. At first, I started going to counseling. I went to counseling for 7 months. I got her to go with me. She didn't like the counselor, so she left.
Well, pick another one. Pick another one that she likes.
And then she wouldn't talk to me. She wouldn't talk to me at all. And now she just started talking to me.
But she's doing your laundry.
So
she's doing your laundry, so she's at least around enough to listen.
Well, I'm not there when she does laundry. Usually I'm gone on Sunday's work.
Well, here's what we're saying. There's still some connection.
Any woman that's doing your laundry is still connected to you in some way because that would be the first thing to go.
Jill, I understand you 100%, Jill. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Gary?
I just heard you say it. What?
Gary?
Go ahead. I mean, I've got preachers involved.
Gary?
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Talk. Talking to counselors, talking to preachers, talking is really different than humbling yourself in a recovery program, going to Every Man's Battle, going to a New Life Weekend, to getting involved in a recovery group, a Celebrate Recovery group, a New Life group. There are so many things that you can do rather than talk that is just you trying to work on your character. That's where you have the most hope.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not winning.
All right, here's
her.
The idea.
Okay.
So,
well,
Gary, you give us a little space here to help you here, man.
I know. Can I say one more thing?
No, you can't.
You have to humbly be willing to listen.
Gary, you have to assume you know nothing.
Yes. Just listen to us.
What's that?
You have to assume you know nothing.
I love Gary. All right. Okay. No more from Gary here, all right?
All right. Okay, John, what's your idea?
You go to your wife and you say, I talked to these folks and they had a list of about 10 things like recovery groups and learning how to grow and men's groups and healing and all this stuff, and I'm going to take that to you. And honey, I'll do all or any of these things. What would it take for you to have a possibility that I could be the man you wanted me to be if I did these things? So you come in with a plan, and you say, I'll do it all. I will live for this plan to get you back. Now, there are a few women that might walk from that, but your odds go way up
when you're that humble and willing. Even if she says, sorry, it is too late, okay?
Then you do them anyway.
She's doing your laundry, so you pick and you do them.
Yep. And then there's one final thing. You might be able to say to her, I heard a guy on the radio talking about this thing called restitution. 7 years ago, when I had that affair, I said I was sorry. but I never fully made restitution. And I want to know, what could I do now to try to repay what I have stolen? See, not only did you not make restitution, you went off and started working two jobs and emotionally disconnected from her. But if you would just do some of these things, Gary, she would see a different man and she might wake up and go, wow, I'd be fortunate to be married to a man who's that humble and willing and involved in getting help. Now, that's the
right.
best we can do.
She might say he's finally clued in.
Best we can there do you for you, buddy.
Steve, I listen to y'all every day, every minute of the
cool.
day, and I've listened to you say that. I know what you're saying. You're right. I mean, you're right, Steve.
Okay.
You're right.
So no buts then.
Hey, listen, we're on your side. I would just love to see this happen and her to come home. Call us. Let us tell you about the New Life Weekend and see if we can get the two of you there. Maybe it's one of those things where you could say, honey, if you never, ever do any other thing, just do this one thing. Let's give it a shot. Let's see what happens. Not saying we're going to get back together, but let's just fish or cut bait here, and let's do it after that weekend. All right, Gary, thanks for calling us. Let me send you a copy of Regret Free Living. We'll be back right after this.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To hear from you, you can write us at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. I'm going to talk with Sarah right now from Phoenix, Arizona. KPXQ is the station. Hello, Sarah. Welcome to New Life.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You are so welcome. What is happening in your world today?
A lot.
Did you just say honey?
No, I said, let me. I'm walking outside right now.
Oh, let me. Okay.
You just haven't seen your wife lately, Steve.
No. I thought she was talking to somebody there, referring to him as honey or a child as honey. But you're right. I haven't seen my wife in a while.
And we were talking about her.
Yeah. Okay. Sarah.
Okay. So this is where I am. My husband is abusive. I have been physically separated from him since June. And we are seeing the same counselor separately. And basically, my question to you is, how do you tell the difference between authentic changing and manipulation? Because, unfortunately, he's a master manipulator.
Was the abuse emotional, sexual, or physical?
Emotionally, physically. And there was some sexual coercion and different things that I didn't feel necessarily comfortable with, but
In addition,
I didn't really realize it was abuse until later.
Okay, in addition to going to your counselor, what is he doing?
Well, yeah, I set out boundaries for him. I want to tell you guys, first of all, thank you so much for all you guys do. I've learned a lot just by listening through you guys, speaking to other people online.
Great. But what's he doing?
Well, he can't communicate to me, but he's in a domestic violence class.
Okay, that's good.
He's seeing a counselor individually, the same counselor I am, who's dealt with these sorts of situations since 1973, so he's the right guy.
Okay, now let me ask, let me just take a shot in the dark here.
Okay.
What did his dad do to him?
Well, his dad beat his mom and beat him.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
But, you know, there's so many stories of people who become advocates of abuse who are abused. Peter, on the other hand, decided to become an abuser.
Well,
people who get help become advocates.
Right. Hey, Sarah, what has the specialist told you to look for?
Well, he hasn't really told me a lot of specific things.
Have you asked him? I mean, it's the right question, but have you posed the question to him, how do I know when he's manipulating and when it's real change? Have you posed that question to him?
Yes, I have, and he has said, watch his actions and not his words.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm continuing to move forward with my life either way, and I have, support around me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great,
mm-hmm.
but it's a very scary place in knowing, okay, how do I know? Because I got fooled the first time, obviously.
Well, you know what? I would be altering the plan by you guys at least seeing a counselor, the counselor together every 2 weeks at least, because you're wondering if he's just manipulating this. You're not even in any counseling session with him.
Correct.
So I would, if I'm in an evaluation stage, mm-hmm. I would be wanting to at least see him in a safe environment with a counselor and listen to him and see if what I'm hearing is ringing true or it sounds like the same old stuff.
And what do I listen for? Because when he speaks, he says exactly what you want to hear.
We don't know that's true because we don't know what we want to hear. So what is he saying that you're suspicious of?
Well, before in the relationship when there was issues with experiences like this, he would say all the things I wanted to hear. I'm going to get help. I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to do whatever I need to do. He would for a while, then he would...
Now that he's into it, what's he saying?
Well, now he's wanting to see me, and he's been continually telling the counselor that.
Is not a sign of health. That's a sign of dependency.
See, there's a word problem here. If he's still saying, I'm going to get help versus I'm getting help. That's the only thing. You don't want to hear any ganas. You have to say to him, gana, no. No ganas, no here's what. If you are telling me you're going to do something for us to move closer together, that is evidence that we should not move closer together. Now, if you do something, and after you've done it for a while, you say, hey, I've been doing this, and I've learned these things, and I see this stuff, then maybe... that's evidence for getting back together. But listen, his dad beat him and his mother, and now he is physically abusive. If this guy is not admitting that he has a severe problem that was passed on to him from his dad and is willing to do everything he can, then I think you've got a big problem still. I think that's manipulation.
Which means he has to get in touch with that brokenness.
Yeah.
And go back to some very scary places inside of him.
Hey, Sarah, I got 4 things you can look for.
Okay.
Got a pen?
I do.
1, I can tell you my issues. I, Peter, can tell you, Sarah, what my deeper issues are, what drives me to be this way.
Which would probably include some feelings about Dad.
It's got to be that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so far so good?
Yes.
Secondly, I own what I did to you. No excuses. I own it. I feel bad about it. I feel remorse. No, kind of like you provoked me or anything else. I own it.
I didn't do what I could have done to prevent it from ever happening.
3, I'm on the plan, and I'm getting the help, and here's my plan. I can articulate my plan to you, my plan of healing and change. And 4, it's okay that you don't trust me.
Mm-hmm. So some humility.
If I heard that from somebody, I'd say I'll dip my toe in the water.
That's a very different flavor.
I heard it from a guy talking with his wife this weekend. He was so remorseful and so wanted things to get back together. He said, of course you shouldn't trust me right now. I don't expect you to trust
That's
me.
That's the right answer.
Right.
How does that make you feel to hear those 4 things? Doesn't that give you some security?
Yes, I feel a lot better rather than hearing a bunch of other excuses. And I don't know, I don't think I'm going to be hearing excuses. Yeah. What I'm afraid of is that he will say these four things. And well, it'll be the same game.
But remember that
Sarah,
plan
he's
part.
Plan.
Plan part. You got to hear it. See.
You got to see
some
it.
Elements of that plan.
Right.
We'll take
you
a break and come
see.
Right back.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
All right. Well, I'm sure glad that Sarah called us. And I, you know.
A really good question.
John, just run through those four again because I think they're really, really good and we won't add anything to them. And people ought to write this down. If they're separated from somebody, say, look, here's what I'm looking for.
We'll do a CD and send it out to our listeners.
Okay.
On it.
Yeah.
It was if you're around a manipulative person, and how do you know if they're lying to me or not?
Right.
Number one, can they tell me what my issues are? What drives me to that?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, do I own it that it's affected you with no excuses and I feel really bad about that? Number three, here's my plan.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my team and my plan. Here's what I'm the steps.
And
I'm
it's
taking.
More than talking. I mean, the plans, you got to have some really good.
It's more than I'm going to do better.
Meetings,
that's
and
right.
I've got homework assignments
right.
and
right.
I got to face
right.
this.
Yeah.
And number four, you don't have to trust me until you see difference.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Really good stuff there. I want to talk with Rich from Reading, Pennsylvania. Listens on the internet. Hi, Rich. Welcome to New Life.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for holding on. How could we help you today, Rich?
I have a son and daughter-in-law who have a natural child that's 10, or biological child that's 10,
mm-hmm.
and then they adopted a child that is now 5.
Okay.
Through foster care.
All right.
Mom and dad and the 10-year-old are very easygoing, non-confrontational type of personality.
Mm-hmm.
The adopted child is a very strong-willed child.
Okay.
They don't know how to deal with her.
Okay. What are they doing to learn how to deal with her?
At this point, nothing.
Okay.
What the doctor originally said when they adopted her was that she's got a bond with you. Well, their idea of bonding is to be her buddy. They have no bond.
No, well, no wonder she's mm-hmm. acting out, because if they're buddying up to her, she's going to feel more insecure.
Which is really helpful, Rich, because it may not be that we have a strong-willed child here.
Mm-hmm.
We might have just a normal kid who doesn't have structure around
him. Right.
Screaming for something more.
And
my best advice for you would be to talk to my wife. She is so brilliant in dealing with spirited children. There are a lot of child-rearing books that can really help them. There's one, and specifically that I love, and it's on raising children with love and logic. It's really good mm-hmm. For a child like this.
Boundaries with kids, too.
Boundaries with kids. I'll send you.
I have boundaries with kids.
Okay.
But do they?
No, this is when, see, what my question is how do my wife and I sit down with them? What is happening? Let me say two things about this.
Okay.
The foster child or the adopted child was a crack baby. Mm-hmm. So she's got some issues that way.
Good for them that your daughter and son-in-law took a chance.
And that's where you want to start
good
when you
for
talk
them.
With them.
Wow.
We love you too, and we believe this was a courageous
I
move
respect
on
that
your,
so much.
Your part.
Right. Okay. Now, the second problem is that it's affecting our 10-year-old granddaughter severely.
Okay. So, and then you say, we're really concerned. We kind of see the effect on the 10-year-old. And I was talking to some counselors, psychologists, and they said maybe there are some things you could do differently that would contain and actually cause the 5-year-old to be a not only just a compliant child but a happy child.
Right. See,
hey, Rich, can I ask you something? Rich.
Yeah.
Here, can I drop down a level, go a little deeper with you?
Sure.
Why don't you have a family culture where telling the truth is okay and you don't have to, like, sweat how to say things?
Basically, we do. My wife and I have kind of, we have 4 children and 8 grandchildren. Basically, we've tried to stay out of their rearing. This particular one is different in that they don't know how to deal with this child. I think they've been misled by the doctor.
Right, but why don't you feel welcome? Like, in our family, we love each other and we see problems, we talk about them, and let's just sit down and have a cup of coffee. This is a hard subject. Why do you need to even ask how to do this? You see what I'm asking?
Because we want to do it in the right way.
But what's the wrong way? What's your concern about the wrong way?
What's the worry?
What's the worry?
Okay, the worry to some extent is, as of Saturday, we're going to be living in their basement with them.
Oh, well, and that's a perfect opportunity then for having a conversation.
Right. You're right. My wife and I are...
Why are you doing this?
Planned, I'm sorry?
Why are you doing this?
We had originally planned to go to Wisconsin. My son and daughter-in-law needed help because she has to go back into the office versus she's worked out of her house for the last 8 years. So they need somebody to take care of the kids in the morning, get them on a school bus, get them up and get them on a school bus.
All right.
Okay.
Perfect opportunity.
So you said,
ground rules.
Let's get together. Let's talk about things that are going to be pluses, what you...
Ground rules of our new relationship.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And what we, you know, could be some potential pitfalls. And, you know, let them know that you want to come alongside of them and you don't necessarily want to question their parenting, but you want to be a resource for them and help.
Well, but back to my question, why can't you say I question your parenting? What's wrong with that? I hope somebody tells me that.
Well, I
think that they're the... Okay,
what about,
okay,
what am I doing
John,
wrong here?
They're the in-laws, though, and I think it can be perceived that they're coming in and telling the younger generation what to do. And
if you ask permission, I just...
All right, here's another thing. Is you get one of these books on parenting with love and logic, for instance, or a Becky Bailey book or something that's got a really great structure for kids like this, and you say, hey, we found these books, and since we're going to be helping raise the kids... We need to all be on the same page and consistent. So I'm wondering if we all read these together, we could get on the same page.
But I swear we're walking on eggshells. I don't get this.
Okay.
Because I'm a people pleaser.
But that kind of seems like you're going to come in and, okay, here's the manual. Now I'm taking charge.
I just hope. Gosh, I hate to. We never disagree this much. But I just hope if I'm not disciplining my kids that my father or my mother or my neighbor comes over and says, you've really got a problem here, and I'm seeing the result, and I love you enough to tell you the truth. I would go, gosh, thank you, instead of encourage you with a great book on you're not doing anything wrong. I want people to tell me the truth.
Okay, now I got to defend John here a little bit, because I do know of two cases where a parent said to their children, you're not doing a very good job of raising this child.
And?
And it produced a result.
Yeah,
and it was good?
You're not doing a very good job, is what they said. So,
Rich, you've earned the relational equity.
All right, Joe,
you've
earned
it. You're dead.
Let me just say something.
We're all talking to ourselves now, Rich.
when my son, about 5 years ago, was telling my granddaughter, you're high maintenance, And he said, hey, wait a minute. You can't do that. Don't lay that on her. She's not the one that made herself high maintenance. You're the one that goes out and spoils her.
That's a good grandfather
thing to say. And that's a very judging statement to a child.
Yeah, so.
Well, that's right. And so, and they did not, in our presence anyways, he never said that again that I'm aware of.
Okay.
It's there. It's that we're looking for the right approach. And what we have come up with is starting with the 10-year-old and being her advocate. Because she came to my wife when she was babysitting for her, all upset about this situation, that the little one is physically and hitting her and that type of thing and not being dealt with. And she came to my wife. So we were thinking about being her advocate with my son and daughter and say, hey, let's listen to her and see what this is happening to her.
All right, I got an idea. A friend of mine wrote a book, Ann Jackson, it's called PTSF, Permission to Speak Freely. You're going into the basement. And you're doing a great sacrifice, and you say, before we do this, do we have permission to speak freely?
Okay.
How's that?
Yep. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't know about the relationship with your daughter-in-law. Sometimes mothers are touchy. So I think, you know, just normalizing that you can perhaps see things in not being the parent that they might not be able to see.
Well,
and you'd like to be able to speak freely about things that come up.
That's right, because when we babysit, she toes the line and gives us no problems whatsoever.
Does the 5-year-old let you hug her?
She will, my wife. She does me somewhat because I'm the disciplinarian more so. My wife is, but I'm more the disciplinarian. I think that's why she stays back away from me a little. But yes, she does.
If I was your wife, I'd be trying to overdo it in the hugging department.
Yeah.
Just containing, squeezing tightly, loving on her. I mean, there is something so healing. And, you know, we talk about filling up your tummy with love. Those hugs from your wife can really be tummy-filling love hugs. Okay?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Rich, we know the child can be good because she's good for us.
Good.
Our hat's off to you, buddy.
Yeah.
So
I'm glad you're going to the basement. We just don't want it to become the dungeon. Okay?
Well, neither do I.
All right. Well, I'm glad you called. You've got boundaries with kids. I'll send you a copy of Boundaries with Teens. That'll get you ready when the 10-year-old is getting a little bit older. Of course, now a 10-year-old is like a teen when we were
pretty much
that age. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back for the second half of New Life Live. Glad you're with us here today on New Life. If you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we are listener supported, and we could sure use your help to stay right where we are and be with you like this every day. And if God is nudging you, we hope that you'll respond to that nudging and support our ministry. You just call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say, I'd like to be part of the New Life Giving family. Here's our gift to you if you join Club New Life at $30 a month. I'm going to send you 4 amazing devotional books, 100 Days of Character, 100 Days of Peace, 100 Days of Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. These are beautiful. They're well done. They're leather-like, and they're great for you. They're great for gifts, too. We've got about 5,000 Club New Life members that really help us sustain what we do. We'll be back after this.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realized that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 15th to the 17th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience. that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arter here. I want to read this to you from the New Life Weekend. I came planning on a separation from my husband of 18 years and had even tried to cancel coming the week before. I'm leaving with new knowledge of what restitution is from the main session and what it means to redefine our emotional dependency, and I have some steps to help break the anger and passive patterns we have. I talked to my husband, and we decided to attend the New Life Conference that's coming up in Maryland. So I love it when somebody comes and then they say, okay, I'm going to come back and bring the spouse. But here was a lady who was going to separate, and now she's got some tools to pull it together. That's what happens at a New Life Weekend. If you need help, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and maybe we'll see you.
For the New Life Weekend, you don't have to have the answer. The answers are there.
They are.
You don't have to
right.
know what's going on.
But
right.
it's the doing different.
It's the doing different.
That can be radically different in your outcome.
All right. Let's go to Sylvia. She's our final caller for today. She's from El Paso, Texas. She watches us on television, and we are glad that she does. Hello there, Sylvia.
Hi.
How's it going?
My question is, how can I have my ex-husband stop him from calling me?
Your ex-husband is calling. How long has he been calling you?
Well, we've been divorced for 4 years, and we got into divorce because of our...
Can you speak up a tad?
Yeah, Sylvia, we're having a hard time hearing.
Speak up a little bit there.
Oh, okay. For 4 years.
He's been calling you for 4 years. Now,
and how frequently?
Yeah.
Almost every day.
Oh,
wow.
What does he want?
What? I can't hear you.
What does he want?
Just to see how we're doing.
And who is we?
Myself, my son.
Okay, how old is your son?
His son?
29.
And he lives with you?
Yes.
So it's just a visit call, like a 5-minute, how are you guys doing, and you say, well, we're okay, and that's it?
No.
What else happens?
Sometimes we... it becomes emotional, sometimes argument.
Like, why won't you come back to me kind of stuff?
No.
What do you argue over?
Because I will confront him. I will tell him, I don't know, I don't understand why you're still calling me. You are with her, this is wrong.
Oh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I see.
He's with somebody else,
well,
but... Well, yeah.
Yes.
You're the other woman.
He
now.
Has a divided life.
Do you have a caller identification?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you have your 29-year-old son answer the phone and talk with his father?
Yes, and then his father will ask him if...
Can I speak to your mom?
Yes.
And then just say, and then your son would just say no. Now, why does your 29-year-old son still live with you? Help us with that.
Oh, it's... I try to. I even call the cops. That's another.
Your son uses drugs.
Problem.
Your son uses drugs.
Yes, that's another problem. I even try to call the cops, and they told me. They told me I have to go through court to, to get him legal out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's another.
Wow. So did you go through the court system to do that?
I couldn't because...
Sylvia, I'm hearing that you feel pretty powerless in your life.
Yeah.
But, I can't hear your word.
That you feel pretty powerless in your life? That you can't keep people out? They just keep calling, they keep coming and staying, and
kind of invading.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, we've got about a minute that we can help her. How could we help her? What do you think would be the best thing for her? She got a 29-year-old drug addict living at home, a husband that calls every day.
Sylvia, I think that Jill is right, and I don't think you can change unless you get people around you to support you. I want you, and we can help you, get to find a healthy church, a support group, a counselor, a pastor, but you don't have a no muscle. We're going to send you boundaries. You don't have a no muscle. But if we tell you to say no, you can't do it because you feel powerless. So the book and a lot of support will make a difference.
Okay. All right. Man, I feel bad.
I know.
Dave Stoop often talks about him having to call the police on his son and pressing charges, and that really was that turnaround moment. So sometimes you got to do the very, very tough thing. Very
and
tough.
It's really hard with those closest to you. There's so much ambivalence.
Yeah. Have I got 15
involved.
Seconds? Or?
You do. 15 seconds.
When she said that about the husband, I thought about fire and how to have fire, you have to have three elements. If I was a Boy Scout, right? You got to have fuel, you've got to have air, oxygen, and you've got to have heat. And without all three of those, there's no fire.
Right.
And if you say, I can't talk to you enough, after a couple weeks or maybe a couple months.
Or you stop answering the phone.
And you stop answering the phone when he's there. The guy stops calling because there's not enough elements there.
Right. He's getting something. He's getting the response that he wants.
Right.
All right. One more of these New Life Weekend testimonies because I want you to come. Here's what Kathy said. This certainly went beyond my expectations as I was skeptical about the claims I've heard on the radio from attendees. The small group sessions were very powerful. The bonding and sharing between the couples created an environment that fostered healing, guided by our skilled counselor. I'm thankful that we were encouraged to share meat together as we bonded even more. Share meals together as well. They had meat at the meal. Meals as we bonded even more. I look forward to taking the tools learned and applying them. I'm so encouraged by progress I've witnessed in my husband, as well as feel walls are coming down which have blocked intimacy. I am very encouraged. This has been well worth the time and financial commitment. That's what people say, one of the things that they say after the New Life Weekend. It's hard to get there. It's difficult to find the time and all, but once you do, if you're like so many other people, we have 100% acceptance of people rather be there than in a federal penitentiary. So we know that it's a good place. I was just kidding. Anyway, people love coming to the New Life Weekend once they get there. And I know it's scary and painful and all that, but once you get there, you'll find it's a safe place where people do change.
And Intimacy and Marriage is in Columbus, Ohio, October the 25th.
We are listener-supported, as I've said before, and we sure do need your help. When you help us, really what you're doing is you're saving lives of children, we think, all across this country, because we're trying to help parents be different and make a difference in their lives in a different way. You know, the Bible talks about the sins being passed down in third and fourth generations, but it also talks about when things go well, it affects thousands of generations to come. Little twist there. Thousands of generations to come. And so you could produce the transitional generation on your family tree, and the children that come after you may never be the same because somebody made the bold move and came to a New Life Weekend or the Everyman's Battle Workshop. If you need some help, call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But if you can help us do these things, we really need your support. They don't pay for themselves. We need your help. And if you can, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, to be part of the New Life Giving family. And we thank you for that. Well, my thanks to Dr. Jill Hubbard. She is the author of The Secrets That Women Keep and The Secrets That Young Women Keep. She's an award-winning writer. Dr. John Townsend is an award, and he's an award-winning writer also, and has just done some great work in the area of boundaries and loving people and other books. And you can find all of the resources at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to our website, newlife.com. We love you. We were praying for you this morning in our devotional time, and I hope this is going to be a great day for you. We'll see you next time here on New Life. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.